You've heard me before speak of what I lovingly refer to as the home office, Rome, Vatican City. In the middle of St. Peter's Square in Rome, there stands a great obelisk, an elongated pyramid. It is about 4,500 years old. And as I understand it, Father Mario saw it when it was first installed. It originally stood in the temple of the sun god in the Egyptian city of Heliopolis. But it was brought to Rome by the dreadful emperor Caligula, and it was set right in the middle of the circus. Not what we think of as a circus. The circus was the racetrack where the chariots ran. Put right in the center of the circus of Nero, who was equally as dreadful. And that circus, that racetrack, was on what was already known as Vatican Hill, because it belonged to a family of Vaticanus. It was in that circus that St. Peter was martyred, and that obelisk may well have been the last thing on earth that St. Peter saw. On top of the obelisk, there now stands a cross. In ancient times, there was a gold ball representing, of course, the sun. Now, there is a cross, the cross of Christ. And on the pedestal of that obelisk, there are two inscriptions. The first of them is, of course, in Latin, Christus vincit, Christus regnat, Christus imperat, which means in English, Christ is conquered, Christ now rules, Christ now reigns supreme. The other inscription is, the Lion of Judah has conquered. Some of you are young enough or old enough to remember the Lion King. Remember, the lion is the king of the jungle. The Lion of Judah has conquered. So here we have the language of victory. Christianity has triumphed over the greatest power that the ancient world had known, the Roman Empire. And it triumphed because of the power of the cross. And here in the middle of St. Peter's Square stands the obelisk bearing those triumphant inscriptions. You show me the remnant of the Roman Empire, I will show you the living body of the Catholic Church. Today we celebrate Jesus Christ as King of the universe. My attention has always been drawn by the emphasis the Bible grants to the word king, especially when it is applied to our Lord. In Psalm 92, we sing, "The Lord is King, robed with majesty." In John 18, verse 37, Jesus says, "I am a king." We have heard that from Jesus' very lips. And in Luke 19, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." Those words, the people shouted when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. The word king, applied to God and to Jesus Christ does not have the inferred meaning we give to it when speaking of the regular, ordinary kings of this world, what we might call conventional monarchy. And I have to say, as much as we love our British brothers and sisters, I don't know of any group of people who have done more to damage the image of a king than the children and grandchildren of the current queen. Those folks were made for tabloids. Not the queen. The queen, that's something else, but her children, her grandchildren, and now her great-grandchildren, oh, they are what tabloids were made for. In popular language, the word king does have a certain affinity with the language of the Bible. For instance, just think, when a new mother is taking care of her baby, and she tells the child, "You are the king of our home. You are the queen of our household." What is that mother implying? Just a very simple thing, that her little baby is her number one priority. She means everything to her. And if you've ever raised a baby, you know they have an interesting way of becoming the center of a household, for good or for ill. And when old teenagers claim that Elvis is the king of rock and roll, I said there were old teenagers, okay? They actually mean there is no other one like him. As much as when we refer to Michael Jordan or Shaq as the king of basketball. Enter a teenager's room and you will probably see on her or his walls who he or she really thinks is the king. I believe these popular expressions very much resemble what we mean when we acclaim God is our king. And they help us to understand Jesus' assertion about his kingdom. My kingship does not come from this world. So different than the current monarchs of the various European countries. Well, theirs is a kingship or a queenship of this world. Jesus's comes from another world. For we Christians, our King is the Lord, and by that I mean he is the core, the center, where the deepest feelings of our lives are going to and coming from. When in the Lord's Prayer we will say, "Your kingdom come, your kingdom come," we mean we would like to see that more and more people could find the source of their happiness, their joy, their wholeness in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and follow the path that Jesus shows to us, which, at least as Catholic Christians, we always point to. What is that path? Oh, it's simply the Beatitudes. Let us therefore ask it with all our heart for whatever Jesus Christ is. There is our life and indeed our kingdom. Amen.